Well, I had a bit of a surprise yesterday afternoon. I was right over there in that confessional, hearing confessions like I tend to do on some Saturdays, and was thinking to myself, all right, this is just fine, because I have the confessions today, and we have a priest coming from the Servants of Charity who's going to be saying the Mass, and so I was just happy, luckily, just sitting and hearing confessions. It was wonderful, and God's good. Forgiveness is awesome. And then began to kind of notice that I was sitting there for a long time, that it seemed like I was sitting in the confessional hearing confessions longer than normal. And so I started to get a little bit confused, and as I was still there listening, and it was like the organ in the back was playing, and there was just little background music, and then I kind of, in the background, hearing the announcements given, and then the organ keeps playing, and 10 minutes later, the organ keeps playing, and I'm thinking to myself, this is just not normal right now. So sure enough, I walk out of the confessional just after 4:30, and everyone is just politely sitting here. Mass has not started. And our director of parish operations, Andy Beal, comes up and says to me, Father, there's no priest. And I said, oh, isn't that fancy? And so I walk up to the ambo and I said, well, it appears that we've had a miscommunication. There is a priest that has not arrived, and I did not expect to celebrate this Mass for you, but if you give me just a few moments of your time and patience, I will very quickly vest and offer Mass. And so that's what I did. So we started Mass yesterday at about 4:35. God bless the people. And it was a perfect story for my day, and a perfect story, I think, for the gospel, that Jesus really has to explain himself to us sometimes in ways that we don't first get. We don't first understand. This is, of course, the time of year every year that we sort of switch over from whatever gospel we're going through. Normally, we go through Matthew, Mark, or Luke throughout the year. This year, we're going through Mark. And every year, about this time, we stop that gospel and we go to the Gospel of John. And we hear the whole Bread of Life discourse, John chapter 6, for like several weeks. And so we started it last week. We're in it. We're going to hear it for another couple weeks. And in the Bread of Life discourse, Jesus, of course, is teaching perhaps one of his most important lessons, which is the gift of himself that he promises that he's going to give. This is where he prophesies about his own gift on the cross, but connecting that to this image of bread and wine. It says, I am the bread. That when your father fed your ancestors, he fed them with the bread of angels. And in fact, it wasn't simply their bellies that he was trying to fill. It was really their hearts that he was trying to fill. And the people who had just seen this fantastic miracle, feeding the 5,000, respond to those words by saying, well, what sign can you do? And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what sign did you just see? It's pretty prodigious, pretty amazing, feeding 5,000. But apparently that's not a sign. They were looking for something different. And Jesus comes back to them and he asks them, what is it then that you're actually asking me for? What are you asking me for? Because I tell you, I've shown myself to you. I've revealed something of my identity to you. And what you got from that was food, which wasn't actually what you were supposed to take from that. What you took from that was food for your bellies, and what I wanted you to take from that instance was food for your souls. I mean, even the very words that they used to address Jesus kind of clarify this point. They say, Rabbi. They call him Sir. But nobody here calls him Lord. Nobody here calls him Savior. See, their eyes are, the eyes of their hearts in particular, are still closed at this point. They don't understand the gifts that God is giving. And so they're not able to be blessed in the way that God wants to bless them. And ain't that the truth for a lot of us? And I find that to be the truth in my life all the time. That you and I, as Christians, we have, you know, a measure of a prayer life, and we pray and we seek God and our daily lives, and God wants to give us gifts, and God hears our prayers, and when God responds to us, God can oftentimes respond in ways that we don't expect, and we misunderstand, and we say, well, Lord, where's the sign? That's pretty much been my whole week this week, actually. The gift that God has really been wanting to give me this week has been the gift of patience. I don't know if you've ever had that experience before. Has God ever wanted to give you the gift of patience? Yeah. How did that feel when he wanted to give you that gift? Probably felt a little frustrating. And we pray for that, right? We pray for something great like patience. Why did a God want to give me the gift of patience this week? Well, as you may know, last week I was away from the parish with my family on vacation. It was awesome. We need more vacation than we know. We come back from vacation. We need vacation after we're done with the vacation. We don't give ourselves enough rest. And one of the things that can typically come to pass after we come back from vacation is the avalanche. And the avalanche is that very thing that consumes you and that overwhelms you. All of the things that you left behind, which are still there, and all of the new things that acquired and accumulated while you were gone, those are also there for you now. And so you spend this nice, restful time, and you come back from your restful time, and all of a sudden, it's craziness. And you spend your week kind of swimming out of things. And as I was trying to spend this past week catching back up, there were a lot of changes that kept happening. A lot of unexpected moments or events that didn't allow me to kind of make the progress that I wanted to make. And I was so angry about that. And I was like, come on. You know? Here's what I'm trying to do, Lord. What are you doing? And what God was doing is what God always tries to do. And God is trying to give me gifts. But me and my misunderstanding felt that those gifts were kind of frustrating. At least they were frustrating because in my own mind, in my own plan, in my own schemes, I had a different ending in mind, or a different set of objectives in mind. And God says, I have something more important. Are you ready to receive what's more important for you this week? And so yesterday afternoon was an example of one of those things. I had no idea that I was going to say Mass yesterday at 4:15, and God said, this is a gift. Are you ready for it? Even if you don't expect it. Because we want these kind of satisfactions of our bodies. We even kind of want these satisfactions of our mind, these satisfactions of our abilities that, you know, we can do this, that, and the other thing, and we can be like the little engine that could and make it up the mountaintop on our own. And the Lord says, I don't want to principally feed your body or even your mind. I want to feed your soul. I want to feed your soul. And that's what he speaks about in the Bread of Life discourse. He says, it's me. It's me that you seek. If you have yearning in your hearts and if you have these desires that are not fulfilled, I tell you, it's not the gifts that I give that you truly want. It's me that you truly want. And so he presents us with a kind of a frame of reference that we've all heard before, and that's a good reminder to hear again. And that's that in our lives of faith, do we spend our time praying, seeking for the gifts of God? Or do we spend our time praying for the giver of the gifts? Do you want my gifts, or do you want the one who gives the gifts? Do you want me? And as St. Paul says to the Ephesians, that is the way that our minds are transformed by grace. St. Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. put away the former way of life. And the former way of life is not simply in maybe the actions or the choices that we make. Our former way of life is also in the way that we perceive the world, and even the way that we perceive the working of grace. And the working of grace, especially when it looks unexpected to us, or especially when the working of grace is not according to our ideas or plans, we get tripped up by that. It was a little bit like me this week. And the Lord then asks us again that question that he asks those who sought him out. You know, well, tell me then, what do you actually want me to do for you? What do you want from me? Do you want your bellies to be filled? Or do you want your soul to be filled? So just a beautiful reminder for us this morning as we take just a short moment of silence here to pray that the Lord would renew the spirit of our minds, and especially to help us to recognize his presence even when he answers our prayers in ways that we don't expect or don't plan on, that God's gifts to us are always greater, perhaps, than the gifts that we ask for.